When it comes to this fight, do you have skin in the game? Do you have something at stake? Because it changes how you fight when you've got something at stake, when you've got something you could lose or something you want to win. So we're going to discuss, how do we fight, when do we fight, and how should we fight? Let's try to figure this out right now in the corner of truth and life. Welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and today we want to talk about the fight. Now, boy, there's a lot of different kinds of fights, but most of us are only familiar most of the time with one kind or a couple kinds. Obviously, there's, you know, fights like, you know, put up your fists and have a good boxing match. There's the fights like, you know, OK Corral and couple of gunmen or whatever with that. But most of us, day in, day out, we experience a fight in different ways. We may experience a fight with a family member. Probably the most easy fight to have is with a spouse or maybe with a child. And usually that's over hurt feelings or power dynamics, things like that. You may have a fight at work. You have a supervisor or an employee who is giving you difficulty, who is standing against you or whatever, or disagreeing. You can't agree on where you're going. If you are in a church, sometimes churches are notorious for being able to be really good at fighting because everything can get extraly emotionally charged, and then you have this kind of the sheen of I am right before God and you're wrong. And so that kind of can add a little bit of power to the fight in a way. And then the one that we're probably most familiar with, and especially, man, I don't know if it's just because different stage of life for me that I notice it more, or I don't know, just seems worse. That this day and age, the political fights have gotten so much worse. And I'm not just talking about love or hate Trump. I mean, that's definitely there too. But I don't know, just like even I, you know, the little town I live in, living here in Chesterville, boy, it just seems like the political fights are worse. But maybe it's just because I'm more aware of them. I don't know. But either way, political fights and fights over things like, you know, right now it's the corridor, other years it's the school budget, other years it's the tax, it's the road crew, it's the, you know, whatever is going on, you know, and fighting over vaccines and fighting over all these different stuff. And so there's always a fight. And so the question is kind of, well, why do we fight, and how do we fight, and how should we fight, and what are the reasons, what are the legitimate reasons for fighting? And I think that one might be the trickiest. So let's dive into that and think about that this morning. Well, I said this morning, whenever, but first, I guess, why do you fight? Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's usually because we have something at stake that is important to us. Sometimes it's called having skin in the game. And we feel that something is at stake for us. And that's motivating. Because if you don't have skin in the game, then, well, why do you care? But when you feel you have something at stake, that's why, you know, when we fight over taxes or spending, it's because, well, this is my money, or my money has a part of it. When we fight over things in our country, it's usually because this is my country and I care about what happens. And again, usually it's issues that directly affect me one way or the other. And how we define something that affects us can vary from person to person. But either way, it's something that matters to us and concerns us. And so we usually are fighting from a place of self-interest. And we may frame it in wider sense. It's not just me. It's for all the people out there who are like me. I'm still self-interested, but it helps me fight if I can think of it and portray it as being something way more than just me. But really, at the heart of it, my passion is rooted in my skin in the game. And then that, in turn, also tends to shape how we fight, because, man, if you feel like you're going to lose, especially if you're going to lose something important to you, well, that's very motivating and can cause you to fight harder and even kind of fight nasty, if it came down to it. You know, employing basically almost any means necessary to win. And the other way we tend to fight, and this is just obvious, is, well, you want to accrue power. You want to get control. So politically, you know, you fight to have the most political power. Get the people who make the decisions to answer to you. And I'm not critiquing or criticizing any of this. It's just how it is. And it's kind of common sense. Well, obviously, in a democracy, you got to get people to agree with you. And so then you have to maneuver, and you have to figure out. And man, like right now, one of the big ones that I'm seeing that is sort of affecting me, but not all that much, but it's more affecting me watching what's happening, is the corridor, the CMP corridor here in Maine, if you're in Maine, fighting over whether the Central Maine Power, the power company, is going to run a transmission line through Maine from Canada down to Massachusetts. And so they're now at the two sides, this is a good thing, and they tout all the benefits, and then there's the Stop the Corridor people who tout all the dangers and all the things that are wrong with it, and it's getting at times kind of nasty, which just makes me tired, and I'm just like, oh my word, it's so nasty. And what I begin to notice is one of the first victims of the fight is truth. Because while both sides are throwing around facts, so often even those facts are selectively picked, selectively presented, they're spun, they are either exaggerated sometimes or downplayed, depending on whether it helps you or hurt you. And then, of course, the other side does that, and you attack them for distorting and spinning, and it's like, well, but you're doing it too, and then both sides say, well, the other side is being negative and attacking, and, well, you're both right, and it just gets nasty. Well, what's at stake? Well, there's different things at stake, and that's why it depends, you know, whether you think you will benefit from it or whether you think you won't benefit from it. No, some people just, I think, like to fight, you know. Hey, you know, they're only happy if they're upset about something. So either upset about the line or upset about the opposition to the line. Either way, you know, whatever you want to be upset about. But again, so now it's like, well, how do we accrue enough power on one side or the other to force through our way? So the pro-corridor people, they're trying to get the government on their side. And the Stop the Corridor people are trying to get government on their side. And they each use different tactics. But in the end, it comes down to a massive power play over this power line. And it's a fight. And it becomes increasingly heated. And the tactics just get worse and worse. And that's how it works, whatever the issue is. You know, the fight there is just a microcosm. It's just an example. So then the question we have, so we've talked about what we fight and how we fight, but then we haven't talked about how should we fight, and that's when we get down to this whole thing from the corner of truth and life, and what does the Bible say? And of course, the Bible, in talking about how we should fight, it's most applicable to those who would say that I care about Christ and I follow Christ, because if you don't follow Christ, then why would you follow what he says? not that it still wouldn't benefit you, it would, but it really only really works if you're following Christ. And we start with looking at Jesus himself. And Jesus, of course, being God, he has power. And we sometimes forget that when Jesus was on earth, and even now, that Jesus is not trying to gain power. He is not trying to accrue power to himself so that he can get something done. Because, by definition, God is omnipotent. He has all power. So he never has to try to get power. And Jesus, even living as a human on earth, is still God. And yet his followers, even though his closest followers had come to believe that he was the Son of God, that he was Messiah, and therefore was very powerful, and they'd seen demonstrations of this power, from healing people to feeding people to calming storms and walking on water, they had seen that he had this great power. Yet when he gets arrested, Peter has bought a sword to protect what's important to him, which is Jesus. And when they come to arrest him, he pulls out the sword and tries to fight off the guards. And Jesus says, Peter, put that away. This is an issue of power. Now, it doesn't want the words Jesus uses. He says, well, Peter, you know, the people who use swords tend to die by them. And then he also says, don't you think I could stop this? I could have a legion of angels here at the drop of a hat. I have all the power I need to stop this. That's not how this works. I'm not going to win by the exercise of power. I'm going to win by the surrender of power, by sacrifice, and in this case, by death. Well, that messes us up. How do you win by losing? Well, Jesus shows us how. And the apostles would go on, and the early Christians would go on to turn the world upside down by losing. And by serving. And by loving their enemies, not attacking their enemies. And even now in the Middle East, when you have Christians, there was a group of Christians a few years ago that were beheaded on TV by some Muslim extremists. And the families forgave the murderers, and it upset the whole region, because the Muslims said, we can't do that. What kind of power is that you can forgive people who not only hate you, but behead your loved ones? What kind of power is that? That's a whole different way to fight, isn't it? Because now I'm not trying to dominate you, I'm trying to serve you. And that kind of power, it does mean you may lose, and that's why you can't popularize it here on earth, and that's why outside of Jesus it probably won't work. Because you got to be willing to lose, and you can only be willing to lose if you can trust that Jesus is going to take care of that which you lose, because you have something more in him, there's something greater at stake, that whatever you lose in this world, even your own life, is not a permanent loss. Paul looked at everything in his life, said, you know, I count it all as loss. It's not worth fighting for. I'm fighting for something greater. Now, boy, how would it change us if we fought that way? And how might it kind of take some of the toxicity out of our culture, out of our community, out of our family relationships? Just think on that today. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.